St. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. We read in the first chapter that John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord, was called to prepare the way for the Lord to come in the 23rd verse. When they asked him about his ministry, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." He preached repentance, that every man needs to repent. And let me say this before I read the scripture this morning. That is still God's will. That is still the need in our day, that everyone repent and come to know the Lord. There's no salvation, there's no joy, there's no real peace outside of real repentance. How many have been to an altar and left the altar unsaved? You say, "Well, Brother Jones, if they went, surely they must have had a desire to have the life changed." Listen, unless a man has godly sorrow for sins and repents and walks away from them, he cannot be saved. You got to make up your mind, and I'm glad that I made up my mind that I was tired of sin. Thank God for the new life in Christ. And when John was baptizing the Lord Jesus, when he was baptizing those who had repented, and one day while he was there, God spoke to him and said these words, "Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." When God the Father spoke to John, he said, when you see the Spirit of God coming upon somebody that you are baptizing in the water, I want you to know that's the Messiah. That's the Christ of glory. The 32nd verse. And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him," upon Jesus. And the day after Jesus was baptizing, John saw him coming again and cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Turn with me to the 35th verse. I'm going to read from that verse. "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, 'What seek ye?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, being interpreted, 'Master,' 'where dwellest thou?' He saith unto them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." And I'm going to conclude the reading of the scriptures with that verse. The day after Jesus was baptized, John saw the Spirit of the Lord descending upon him. He knew that he was the Messiah. And the next day he sees him and cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And the next day, the Bible says, in that 35th verse, when John's disciples heard Jesus speak, they followed him. And when they asked him, "Where dwellest thou? Where are you staying?" he said, "Come and see. Come and see." I want to preach this morning, "Come and see. Come and see." I want to use these words, the sermon of the words of Jesus, and I want to use it as an invitation. Let me just share something with you. No one in this house knew what I was going to preach about today. Not the song leader, not the choir, not the piano player, not the guitar player. But just a few moments ago, the choir sung, "Tell the King, I accept his invitation." I want to preach this morning on invitations. He said, "Come and see. Come and see." He invited the disciples of John the Baptist to come and see where he stayed. Come to be with him. And so I've got three thoughts that I would like to bring to our attention this morning. But before I come to that, I want to go back to the first book of the Bible, and then I want to go to the last book of the Bible, and then I want to preach about coming. Come to Jesus. Bible tells me in the 6th chapter of Genesis that after generation after generation, after century, rather than getting man close to God and serving God and obeying God and becoming more and more like God, the Bible says that man got further and further away. There was only evil and wickedness and violence in the heart and life of man. And God looked down upon mankind that He had made, and the Bible says that God was disturbed in His heart. He said, "I repent, repenteth me that I have made man upon the earth." And He said, "I will destroy man that I have made." God said, "I made man, but it's gone a different direction. He has not served me. He will not love me. So I will destroy man whom I have made." But listen to these words found in the 7th chapter, 6th and 7th chapters of Genesis. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And there came a time when Noah finished building the ark some 100 years later, and it's time for the flood to come. In the 7th chapter of Genesis, God says to Noah, "Come down and thy house into the ark." Come on in. Aren't you glad that God said to you one day, "Come on in"? Amen, amen. Noah, come on in and listen to this. "And thy house." Let me just share something with you this morning in the very outset of the sermon. God's concerned about you and your companion and your children and your grandchildren and every member of your family. God is concerned. Amen, amen, amen. I went with my wife to the doctor Friday. We happened to go to the same doctor's group where Rose, Sister Christine, daughter Rose, and most of you know Rose, and she's there's just one Rose like Rose. She's a Rose. And she spoke to us while we were there in the waiting room, and soon we were called back to another room, and she went a different direction. It wasn't long that Rose came to the door, and the doctor hadn't come in yet, and so she filled up the time that the doctor didn't fill up. Just sharing things about how that she's going, her and her sister are going to a Bible study group every Wednesday morning, and how that is, she told me, all the, I think some 300 ladies, how they meet at the Mintsville Baptist, and it's from all denominations and everyone that like to go, and it's not, they're not teaching any particular doctrine, but they're going through different books of the Bible, and how they've studied Romans, and they've studied this book, and they said, and now they're studying the book of Acts. And she was talking, she was excited about the more about the discussion. They meet and they go over the assignment for that day, and then they meet out in the sanctuary, and they discuss things all together, and they have lecturing and what have you. I thought, no one can get too much of the Bible. Amen. What did he say, Brother Joseph? She said it's an, everyone, all the ladies of the peninsula are invited. Any denomination, whoever they might be. I thought, isn't it wonderful that the Lord said to all of us, come on in. Come on into the kingdom. Come on into the family of God. I'm glad today I accepted the invitation. He said, Noah, come on in with your family. And when the flood was over, the only people alive on the face of the earth was Noah and his family. Then I went all the way to the back of the Bible, and I found that's the first invitation recorded in the Bible. I went to the last chapter of the Bible, and I found the last invitation is found in the last chapter of Revelation, chapter number 22. And it says something like this, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come." And I thought, that is God's invitation. The redeemed of the ages are invited to come and enjoy eternity with the Lord. Listen, when that day comes, there'll never be another sunset on this earth, in the glory world. There'll be no need for the sun because He's the light of that city. Hallelujah. There'll be no night there. There'll be no pain there. There'll be no pills there. Thank God for that. No prescription. I got a prescription last Friday when I was with my wife at the doctor's office that I've never seen one like it. He's talking about it. Is she still taking this? Are you still taking this, Miss Jones? Yes. He said, is anything else? I said, yes, doctor, I'd like for you to write a prescription. My wife has lost her appetite. I want you to write her a prescription to eat. He pulled out his prescription pad. He dated it.
He wrote a script and Miss Jones eat. Signed it. Brian McCormick. I've got it. I'll have to show it to her every once in a while. My wife said sometimes when I have to read, she said, "You're just trying to fatten me up." No, sir, I'm just trying to keep you alive. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying thank God for the invitation. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, I find that there is that, what we were singing about, there's a choir, that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me say this today. I'm planning on being there. I intend to be in that number when the saints go marching. The first invitation was in the 7th chapter of Genesis. The last invitation in the Bible is in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. I want to preach this morning a few thoughts on come. Come and see. Invitations. To begin with, come and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. When John the Baptist said to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He was introducing Jesus to John and Andrew as the Messiah. And when Jesus saw them following him, he turned to them and said, "Why are you following me?" They said, "Where are you going?" Why do you want to know?" "We just want to be with you." And I want to leave this with you this morning, the first part. Jesus said, "Come and see." Here are two disciples of John the Baptist. Andrew and John, the son of Zebedee. They are disciples of John. They are following John. They are listening to John preach. They are there with him for the baptismal services and the rest. And the day that Jesus comes on the scene and John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," the Bible says, Andrew and John leave John the Baptist and they now begin to follow Jesus. He said, "Come and see," and so they follow Jesus. Let me leave that everyone understand this today. It was wonderful to be a disciple of John the Baptist, but he has now done what he was called to do. He was called to pave the way, to point the way to Jesus. And when Jesus comes on the scene, John said, "I must decrease and he must increase." And now when his disciples leave him, he is not upset with his disciples. That's what he was preaching about. He's preaching, when he comes, I want you to follow him. He has the answer. And now they say, "Where do you dwell? Where do you stay? Where are you living?" And he said, "Come and see." And I'm glad for the time that I heard about Jesus and I came and I saw that he's everything the Bible said. And I'll leave this with you today, one of the greatest ministers. You can read of G. Campbell Morgan, you can read of Charles Finney, you can read of all the great preachers of yesteryear, and this, even now, one of the greatest ministers of anybody's life that any man can have in this life is pointing others to Christ. Andrew introduced Jesus to his brother and his brother to Jesus. And I thought about some others in the Bible that did that. I've often thought of Philip, who was a disciple. Then God spoke to his heart and said, "Philip, I want you to go down to Samaria." None of the apostles were going to Samaria because they were not loved there. And God says, "Philip, go down to Samaria and preach." And he went down, and the Bible said there was a great revival and great joy in that city. And in the middle of the revival, God said, by the Holy Spirit, saying, "Philip, I want you to leave this revival. And I want you to go out on that desert highway that goes south towards Beersheba. I've got a work for you to do." And when he went out, he obeyed God. He left that revival. Went out yonder alone on the side of that highway. It wasn't an interstate highway. It was just a path across the desert. And here comes the Ethiopian eunuch that had been to Jerusalem to the feast. And God spoke to him and said, "Get up in the chariot with that man." And he obeyed God, and the man was reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, and Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I understand? Who's the man talking about, himself or someone else?" And the Bible said Philip began to explain the Word of God. And Philip, listen to this, Philip led that Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus. The greatest ministry anyone can have
is pointing people to Jesus. Pointing people to Jesus. Jesus said, come and see. And He gave the invitation for them to come. And I hope as long as I live, I have some memory, some mind. And I hope I'll never forget this as long as I live. I hope I'll never forget how that God spoke to my heart. How that I stepped out, my wife and I, walked down the aisle together, knelt on this side of the church, knelt in that Assemblies of God altar, 1955, and asked Christ to come into our heart. He invited us. He gave us the invitation. I'll never, as long as I live, I hope I'll be able to remember that because it was the greatest day of my life. He changed me completely. He said, come and see. And I responded, thank God for the invitation. I read on in the Scripture. I found that Peter was an instrumental ministry. When he obeyed God, he went down to Cornelius' house and began to share the Word of God and began to put Cornelius and his family to the Lord. He shared the invitation to the Lord, come to the Lord. The Bible said they accepted it and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What a service they must have had in Cornelius' house because of what Peter was doing in pointing them to the Lord. Paul and Silas went to Philippi and that night in there when they were in jail and the jailer was ready to take his life. How that the earthquake came and Paul cried out and said to the jailer, do thyself no harm. We are all here. And when the man came to Paul and Silas, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul pointed him to Jesus. Amen. The greatest ministry you can ever have is pointing people to Jesus. Pointing folks to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad that someone invited me. Secondly, I want you to notice verse number 39. He said unto them, come and see. They came and now where, and saw where they dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They abode with him. They stayed with him. They spent some time with him. They listened to what he had to say, the Word of God. They enjoyed the fellowship with the Almighty. It was just good being in the presence of the Lord. And let me again give a personal testimony. I too have found it's good to be in the presence of God. It is good to be where the Lord is and the Lord is where you are. When you accept the Lord and you've accepted Him as your personal Savior and you love Him and then you spend time with Him. I remember we were saved in February and in August we went to England. We was away from the church. Away from the people that we loved and a good preacher and good pastor and good church family. We went to England and began to search for somewhere to worship God. It was late in 1955. And we went to the Methodist Church. And we went to the Baptist Church. And we went to Salvation Army. And we were searching for something and we heard that there's an Assemblies of God over in Lakenheath. And we bought a car and we drove to Lakenheath some distance from where we were living and went to church there and we found out they were just beginning a great move, a great revival over in Bury St. Edmunds because of a lot of young people that got saved and they're having a joint meeting and they're having a in the town hall and we were invited to go and my wife and I went and they asked us to sing and we sung nine after nine after night in that great town hall with all those hundreds of people there and a church was born out of that. What do you say, preacher? I'm glad that I can tell you today that after you get saved that it's good to get in the Word of God. It's good to become active in the Word of God. And my wife met a lady in the church that she became friends with. She was a GI's wife. And every day they would get together. Every day they could, they'd get together. And they would go through the Bible. And they were marking their Bible. They had a blue, marker. For certain scriptures about maybe the resurrection and a yellow marker maybe for the Holy Ghost and different work for salvation. And they were going through the Bible study day after day after day. Listen to this. When you really accept Christ as your Savior, you love to be with the Lord. You love to read it. Just before Christmas time, Danny Watts came and got saved. Came back Wednesday night, came back Sunday night, came back Wednesday night. asked me, Brother Jones, do you have a Bible? I don't have a Bible. Do you have a Bible? And we gave him a Scofield Bible like this. Gave him a new Bible. And he came until Christmas time. He went to church with his mom on Christmas time, and he hasn't been back here. But my prayer is, God help him. When you get saved, if you don't stay here, you lose out. When you fall in love with Jesus, you fall in love with this. Have you found this to be wonderful? Have you found it to be the answer? Hallelujah. As I was reading and found out how, that in that 39th chapter, they asked where he was and where he stayed and what have you. And then they just loved to be with Jesus, and they loved to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'll use one other illustration before I go on. There's a story in the 17th chapter of Matthew. One day Jesus looked at the disciples and said, Peter, James, and John, I want you to go with me. And so they went with the Lord and they climbed a mountain. And when they were on that mountain, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus, suddenly, they were visited by Elijah and Moses. Moses had been dead for 1,500 years. Elijah had been dead, or Elijah hasn't died. Elijah was caught out 1,000 years earlier. And now on that mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration in the Bible, on that mountain there is Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And Jesus is not only with them, he's in his human flesh. Now he's glorified. They're seeing him in his glorified form. You say, Brother George, but he hasn't been put to death yet. He hasn't risen from the dead yet. They saw him in his glory. And they were conversing, and Peter and James and John are listening to what Elijah and Moses are saying to Jesus. I imagine they were all ears. I'd want to hear everything they said. And the Bible said, listen to this. Peter said, Lord, it's good to be here. Why don't we just build three tabernacles? One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. Let's just stay on the mountain. Let's just stay up here and enjoy and this good time of fellowship and all this going on and the glory of the Lord. Let's just stay up here. Why go back down in the valley? Why go back down there to everyday living? Why go down there to all the hardships and the troubles and the sickness and all that? Why don't we just stay up here? Listen, it's good to be on the mountain. But sometimes we have to go down in the valley. And remember this, when you're in the valley, He'll still be there. May Ellen's been through a valley. Long time, incapacitated and unable, driving, go to the house of God. And some of the others, like Brother Jay now, and Brother Lou oftentimes, even like my wife this morning, some things you can't do any longer. You can't do what you used to could do. I want you to know how deep the valley might be, how long the valley might be, how wide it might be. Our God is still God. He's the God of the valley, as well as the God of the mountain. Peter said, let's stay on the mountain. But they had some work to do in the valley. They loved to be with Jesus after they had accepted Him as the Savior. Hallelujah. When you come and see, when you accept Christ as the Lord of your life, when you've enjoyed being with Him, abiding with Him, you find it to be the best life in all the world. And I can say that today. I have found serving God is the best life in all the world, and I'm glad that I came. Finally, from the 40th verse, and I'm going to read that again. 40th verse. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew was so thrilled at what had taken place in his life and in the life of John, his friend. He wanted to tell someone. He couldn't keep the good news to himself. He's found what is real in his life. He's accepted the Lord as his Savior. His life has been changed. He's excited about the Lord, and he must tell someone. And so he went to his brother Simon Peter and said to Simon, we have found the Messiah. And John the Baptist has told us that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Messiah, and we have found him to be the Lord of our lives. He's changed our lives. John the Baptist has told us to him and him to us, and now he's the Christ of our lives. And I want you to meet him. I want to take you to him. I want you to understand and see. And he invited Peter to come with him.
to point him to Jesus. The greatest ministry anyone can ever have, pointing someone to Jesus. Peter came, accepted the Messiah, accepted him, lived for him, died for him, found it to be real. I want you to leave something with you today. There's going to be a judgment. The Bible says there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. We mentioned in Bible study three judgments. The judgment seat of Christ for all the believers. The judgment of the nations. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, as to which nations are going into the millennial reign. And the judgment of the ungodly at the great white throne judgment, found in the 20th chapter of Revelation. I want to come to the judgment seat of Christ. All the saints are gathered there. The church. The books are open. Everyone there is saved by the blood. Everyone there has made it to heaven. Everyone there will have been in the glorified body at that time. It's after the rapture. We're in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ. The book is open. And I can see when the book is open, a man's name is called Simon Peter. Simon Peter steps up. And all that he's done, is going to be put in the scales. And what he has done, that was with the right attitude and for the glory of God. And all the rest is going to come forth as gold. If he's done things after being saved that he will lose, that had the right, wrong attitude or whatever, he'll have no reward for that. But this is what I want to share with you. Peter was called upon by God to preach the first sermon after Pentecost. When he finished preaching, 3,000 people got saved. One service. The greatest service I've ever been in. 600 people got saved in Seoul, Korea, at the World Pentecostal Fellowship, 1973. 600 people came out and stood on that track at that soccer stadium and accepted Christ. 3,000 got saved when Peter preached. Not long after, I don't know whether this was his preaching, but 5,000 more got saved. And God, the Lord is giving out rewards for the deeds done in the body. Standing back somewhere is his brother named Andrew. Listen closely. Listen closely. I believe every reward that Peter gets is going to be shared with his brother. Why is Peter here? How did he get here? Because his brother invited him. His brother said, come and see. His brother said, we found the Messiah. I want you to meet him, brother. I want you to meet the Lord. I want you to meet the Messiah. He's changed my life. He's changed John's life. I want you to come and see him, Peter. Come for yourself, Peter. And Peter went. And I believe when the rewards are given, when the reward is given for Peter, part of it will be for Andrew. When Andrew steps up, what he did, I don't find that he's ever built a church. I don't find that he was ever a missionary. I don't find that he was ever a pioneer evangelist. I don't ever find that he was any great preacher. I don't know I've been preaching one sermon in the Bible. I don't really know all that took place in his life, but when Simon stands before the Lord, I want you to know something. He pointed Peter to the Lord. He's the one that invited Peter to come. He's found something real. He's found something good. He's found the Lord. He's been saved. His life has been changed. And he shares the gospel. And he said, come, my brother. Come, my brother. Come, Peter. We have found the Messiah. Come. And Peter gets saved and is mightily used of God. And I'm going to close and we're going to pray. Thank God for the invitation. I got a call some time ago. When we were pastoring in Arizona in 1959, we began the church. 1960, we had started running. My wife had driven the car to the base, Fort Huachuca, and pick up children. 1961, we bought a bus and drove it. And I was carrying mail on Fort Huachuca as we were building a new church or trying to establish a new church. And I was working to pay our bills and carrying mail. And I saw a boy, sort of red-headed and had freckles on his face, and 9 years old. And I got acquainted with him, and I said, we're starting a church. And we run a bus every Sunday, and we'd love to have you. And he introduced himself, and we talked. And the next Sunday, he caught the bus. And a Sunday or two later, we were having a Sunday school contest to see which side maybe would bring the most to church. And so this boy named Kenny had a brother named Charles and had a sister named Kathy, and he invited his brother and sister to come to count for him. And they came. And before the contest was over, he said to his mom and dad, if you'll come, you can help me, I might win the prize, whatever it was. I think we were giving away a candy bar 36 inches long. Maybe something else, I don't know. He got his mom and dad to come. And his mom got saved, but his daddy walked out after the service was over. Didn't say anything. Went home. Went to the refrigerator. That's what he said. Got some whiskey and drank, he said, a water glass full of whiskey. Water glass is a big glass. And he said to his wife, I'll never go back. Guess where he was the next Sunday morning? He was at church. God kept dealing with his heart, and he got saved. And that father got called to preach. And his oldest son named Charles got called to preach, and today he's superintendent of the Kansas Conference of the Pentecostal Holiness Church. That young boy, 9 years old, is in a ministry today. Been around the world, ministering to pastors, preachers, teaching, sharing. He's been to India and been in services with Moses Kumar. He's been in Kenya, met with Philip List. And he called me, this young boy. He's in his 50s now. He called me and he said, Brother Jones, I just wanted you to know. Every time we go somewhere, and sometimes hundreds are there, we've had revivals as we teach the preachers and God is blessed. He said, I wanted to call you to let you know that I believe you're going to share in every soul that gets saved. Because you're the one that led my family to the Lord. I'm nobody. And I'm not in this thing for rewards. I'm in this thing because I love Him. I'm saved today because of the mercies of God. And I'm not in this thing for rewards. But Kenny called me and said, everywhere we go and we meet some folks that you've known, and your church has given money to missions, and we find that how abundant life is given here and given there, and we're running into results of the church and your ministry. I'm nobody this morning, but He's everybody. And He says, come and see. And He gives the invitation. And as the choir sung this morning, I'm so glad He gave the invitation to me. And we're going to pray this morning, but I'm going to ask you to do something. Pray that God will help you and me to point somebody to the Lord. Help us to share the good news with somebody. We don't know. Mike mentioned about a man that works with him. 52 years of age that I mentioned a while ago. Had a heart attack. Well, healthy and wealthy. Healthy. Had a heart attack and died. Help us, God, to do what we can while we can. Because tomorrow might be too late. Give the invitation. Tell somebody about Jesus. Without any music. Without any singing. Will you stand together with me?